it felt like I had a revelation this week because I was asking God about how to show you my love. How do I let this church know that I love them? How do I walk that out? And I mean, Scripture will talk about don't just love in by the words you say, but by what you do. And I felt like the Lord just unlocked a key for me. And I said it to Audrey this week. I just said, honey, I think God really helped me. I said, treat them like Marstons. Treat them. He didn't say treat them like family. I've always recognized your family. He said, treat them like Marstons. Because we have some family sayings, things like Marston stick together. And I thought, as I was, in fact, it was one of Rick Warren's books I was reading, and he talked about we're formed for family, and that our earthly relationships are temporary, but that we're in father, mother, son, daughter. When we're in the family of God, that's eternal. That we're family forever, and we're in a new bloodline. And so, if you see me acting a little differently towards you, that I'm really listening, that I'm really paying attention, that I'm going the extra mile on. I feel like I need to treat you like a Marston. That you're family, and I so deeply love you, and I want to make a difference in your life. Just do whatever I can to lay down my life for you, and we want to do that for each other, and that's what family is all about. And we stick together, so. You're stuck with me. For good or for bad, that's the way it is, because I'm in love with you. One of the things that I'd like to share with you this morning is about hearing God's voice. I don't know about you, but that's one of the most important things in my life. I want to be able to hear God's voice. To discern it, to know God's voice. I hear all kinds of things all the time. Thoughts come surfing through my mind. It just, and I think, is that me? Is that God? Is that, to be able to discern God's voice. And so I'm not even just talking about hearing God's voice. I'm talking about when God speaks, knowing, recognizing it's his voice. that we may hear his voice, but not recognize it's him. That happened in the Old Testament. Samuel was in the house of the Lord. He heard God's voice. He didn't know it was God. Runs to the priest Eli. You called me. I didn't say a word. It happens three times. And Eli instructed Samuel saying, when that happens again, say, speak, Lord, your servants listen. But he didn't recognize the voice of God. Neither did the priest recognize it was God's voice till three times later. But that must be God. And so I want to share with you and talk a little bit about knowing the voice of God. Jesus said that he only did the things he saw the Father doing, but the things that he said is because he heard his dad say. He heard his father say, and so he said those things. I only say the things I hear my father saying. And some of the things that Jesus heard the father saying was that God so loved the world. Talked about God's love. He heard the father saying, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. He said things like, blessed are you if you, and it will be for you. And he went through all this declaration in the Sermon on the Mount. He said things like, he heard the Father saying, forgive. And he gave us the instruction to forgive. He explained things that he heard the Father saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Tell them this. And so Jesus would speak. And when the disciples came and said, teach us to pray, Jesus heard the Father saying, teach them this. One of the things that I have struggled with, and perhaps you have too, till we come to an understanding of it, is this scripture where Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I leave. I can't imagine that as the disciples, hearing that for the first time, Jesus saying, it's to your benefit, to your advantage that I leave. You think, Jesus, stay here with us forever. But he says, it's actually for your benefit, for if I go, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. And it's marvelous now that we don't have to go to Jerusalem to meet with Jesus. That we don't have to go to press through a crowd and somehow interrupt him between speaking engagements to get an audience with Jesus. We don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit has been outpoured, and we have access to the Father through Jesus. We can meet with him at any time, in any place. We have the amazing opportunity to talk to God and hear him speaking to us. It's not enough. Hear me out on this. It's not enough that God spoke. It would be, if it was a religion that we were about, for him to speak and say, here's the rules, follow them, I'll see you on the other side. But we weren't built for religion. We were built for relationship. And one of my favorite stories is from Olu, where he's talked about at his workplace. And you have maybe faced this as well, not allowed to talk about religion at your workplace or your school or different places, family gathered, whatever it might be. I love his response was, I'm talking about someone who loves them. What's religious about that? Right? This, and we're not talking about a religion, all the do's and don'ts and following. We're talking about someone who loves you so very much he gave his life for you that you could spend eternity with him. We're talking about someone who came to save you from your sin and set you free and give you eternal life. What's religious about that? We're just so designed for relationship. We're not designed for religion. And we can get pretty religious, and I know I certainly can. There's trouble when, in any relationship, when you don't speak, when people stop speaking. When someone stops speaking, even we can use that as a punishment. Do not raise your hands. Anybody familiar with the silent treatment? And Christmas Eve, I talked about it, about the woman at Walmart. I'm ignoring you. It was just the silent treatment. It can be a waging of war. I refuse to talk to you. It can be a form of fighting, a form of punishment. God has chosen to speak to us. God does not want to give us the silent treatment. But recognizing his voice is sometimes really difficult, because of the way he's chosen to speak to us. He could speak to us in a booming voice for everyone to hear, but there are very few times in Scripture where God spoke to groups of people where they heard a voice. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, it says the people heard the thunder. God was going to meet with the people. Tell the people to come. I'll meet with them. They heard the thunder and saw flashes of lightning, and an earthquake begins to happen. And they say to Moses, you speak to God and tell us what he said. That all of us going and talking to God, that doesn't sound like such a good idea anymore. You go meet with him and tell us. There are a few times in the New Testament where we see God speaking, and it's not just one person that's hearing, but multiple people hear. He really is just speaking to one person. But at this point, it's Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there's a time when Peter, James, and John are with Jesus at the top of a mountain, and they hear the voice of God and say, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him only. There's a time where Jesus has been talking about how he's going to die in the crucifixion. And God will speak and say, I've glorified myself and I'm about to do it again. But when the people hear this voice, some thought it was thunder and others thought an angel had spoken. We have another picture where Saul is on the road to Damascus, and a great light shines and he hears this voice. And the men around him heard a voice but didn't see anyone. And later on in the book of Acts, it'll talk about that some didn't even hear the voice, that it was like thunder. But it seems to me that God continually, even though in those moments there were more people he's speaking to, an individual, and I think that God consistently speaks to individuals. That's what I'd like to just talk with us for the next few moments. This morning, God talks to us in dreams. We see that recorded in the New Testament a lot, Old Testament too. In visions and impressions and thoughts. Where he's speaking to us, it's how do we recognize that dream is from the Lord, or a vision is from God? How do we recognize the impression, the thought is really by the Spirit of God directing us, and by others? People will give us words. God's telling me to tell you this. We call that moving the prophetic, hearing what God's saying and declaring it. How do we know that that's from God and that's not just someone sharing something? Well, I think this is really the answer. Mostly he speaks to us through his word. And whatever he says to us will not contradict his word. Whatever impression, whatever thought, whatever dream, whatever vision, whatever anybody else says to us, it will not contradict his word. My hope for 2019 is that we would be a people that were able to readily discern God's voice. The difference that makes in our lives, that we are a people who say, yet that I have heard the voice of God. And yet it's not just enough that we hear him. Because if we just hear God speak, then there's a problem. We need to have a right heart to receive what he has to say. And then we need to obey. See, Jesus spoke to a whole lot of people and they crucified. They heard the word of the Lord. They heard Jesus speaking and they killed him. So it's not enough that we just hear God's voice and discern, yes, that's the voice of God. May we have hearts that are receptive to his voice and hearts and lives that are willing to obey his voice when God speaks. I think one of the most amazing things is this, is that Scripture tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or the New Living Translation will say, for whatever's in your heart determines what you say. We agree that's true. I also believe that's true for God. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. It's what's true for us in this is true for him. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. And when he speaks, may we understand his heart. Because some of the things that he says can be confusing. We need to go back and think, no, but I know his heart. I know the heart of God. And when he does things or doesn't do things, may we understand his heart. We gathered together a few moments ago saying, God, we thought we wouldn't walk around this so long. We thought we'd see breakthrough now, but we know this. We know your heart and you're good. You're kind and you are loving. May we be so close to him that we know who he is, what his heart is like, so then we can listen with those kinds of ears. I think some of the most hurtful things for me, both in life and in ministry, have been when people have accused me of a motivation that's behind an action or a decision. I'll make a decision, I'll do something. And it's when the motive, I got lots to work on, I know that. But when my motivation's questioned, I think, then you don't know me. Some time ago, as I often do, would come up at some point in a worship service, in a time of singing, see, let's all raise our hands. And someone came to me after the service and said, why are you trying to manipulate me by making me raise my hands? You're being manipulative. I'm not passing sentence on them, but it was this, they didn't understand my heart on why I would do that. So they were confused. Just, why would you do that? We're free to worship the Lord however you want, and good and right. But what was hurtful was, that's not why I would do that. Is somehow to just manipulate us. It's boy, if we can raise our hands, if we can be in one purpose and in one place, we can open our hands and open our lives and praise the Lord like this. We can be together. We're not individuals. We are together. And we're not just kind of doing our own thing. As an orchestra, can we all do this together? Just as a praise offering to the Lord. But when we miss the heart behind it, then that can be hurtful. And I just, but by way of illustration, but what happens if we do that to God? When he speaks, or does something or doesn't do something, and we think, it's because you're unkind. Or it's because you're trying to get me to. Or you're trying to manipulate, whatever it is. Or maybe we can take a step back and say, okay, I know his heart. It happened to me and Audrey just this past week. It was about the sermon. I had an illustration I wanted to share. I learned it as a teenager years ago. And it was about reaching the lost and seeing people saved. And I remember it being hard-hitting and change and challenging me. And I said, I'm going to share this with the congregation. And she said, Barry, you know that comes across as so condemning. And I thought, yeah, that's what motivated me. And she said, I know that's not your heart to condemn the people, but that's how it comes across. And I thought, so you're not getting the illustration. But then she smiled and lovingly said, a friend will tell you. But what I loved that she prefaced it with was, I know that's not your heart, but that's how it'll come across. And I'd like to think that when God does things or says things, doesn't do things, we could give him the benefit of the doubt because we know who he is. How hurtful would it be to God that we say, this is why you did that? An interesting experience that I'd like to share with you from someone who I've never met, but I follow. His name is Joshua Becker, and he has a website called Becoming Minimalist. Now, this illustration, please hang on with me, because if you're not into minimalism, if you're into shop till you drop, good. this isn't the point of this isn't about minimalism, but this is Joshua Becker, and he wrote a book called The More of Less, and I took one of his online courses called Uncluttered. I read his quarterly magazine called Simplify. Every other weekend, he sends me and a million other people blogs that he's found in the last 2 weeks, links to that he recommends to read about minimalism, and it's about living more by owning less, about having more time to do what you really love instead of looking after your stuff. It's about ownership, not access. He talks about things like you don't need a big yard if you have access to a park. You don't need a lot of books if you can get to a library. It's that kind of thing. But the reason why I share that with you is just a little context of my listening to him. Is I got an email from him probably a month ago, maybe a little more, about a new book that he's releasing called The Minimalist Home. I got another email. About this new book that he's published, pre-release, pre-order it, and so I clicked on the link and looked at the book and didn't buy it. 3-4 days later, I get another email from Joshua. Hi Barry, I noticed that you clicked on the book but didn't buy it. Is there a reason why you didn't buy it? And is there any question? Are there any questions that I might answer? I thought, well, fair enough. You asked a question. So, and not unkindly, and not with any harshness, I wrote him back. I said a lot of encouraging things about been listening to you, following you for a few years now, and really like this and that. And so, but you asked why I didn't buy the book. Here's why. It's because in the emails, you wrote things like, buy 3 copies and give them as gifts for your friends. What a great friend you would be. Buy 6 copies and use them as a study group. And I said to him in the email, Joshua, just what came across was buy more, buy now. He said, Joshua, it didn't sound like you. Everything that you've said in these last 2 or 3 years, this didn't sound like you. Didn't come across. I said there were some humorous points in there. I understand that. But this didn't sound like you. I said, had you written and said the book is more like a manual, so everybody needs a copy, or on. I said it just didn't fit. Guess what? I got an email back, not from the marketing team, but I got an email back from Joshua. And he said, wow, Barry, I'm impressed. You're the first person to say anything, and you're right. I didn't write the emails. I approved the final copies, but I didn't write them, and here's why. Then he went on to talk about that he's not a salesman, doesn't do well selling books, on. He listened to people that he loved and trusted. Gave a few more reasons. But his response sounded like him. And then he said, he closed it with, you're sharp. It has nothing to do with me being sharp. It has everything to do with, even though the email appeared to come from him, it missed his tone. It missed his motivation. And the buy more, buy now was so contrary to how I have listened in the last few years. It was like, that doesn't sit right. That doesn't sound like you. The reason why I know Joshua's voice is I've spent the last few years reading letters from him. What's important and why? I don't know him. I have no relationship with him. We have no friendship. He's an author. I'm a reader. He's a speaker. I'm a listener. He's a teacher. I'm a student. I don't know him. I just know his voice. Even through email, even through a letter, I could tell this doesn't sound like you. And it's not just what he says, it's how he says it. And it's not just how he says it, it's what he says. And I wonder if in 2019 we would be able to be the sheep that Jesus talks about. The ones that say, I know his voice. And we would follow him. We would be able to recognize his voice. It's not just the words, it's the tone. It's not just the tone, it's the words. It's what he says and how he says it. And in fact, Jesus earlier in John 10 would talk about his sheep know his voice and they will not follow a voice of a stranger. And had I first been introduced to Joshua Becker with the emails that he sent, I would have never followed him. The tone was just so different. It was the marketing campaign, and that's not what I signed up for. But I wonder if we would read letters from God with great frequency in 2019. If we would read letters from him with great frequency that he's written to us, that we would be able to recognize not only his word, but his tone. Because there are lots of people who have used his words without his tone. And we think that doesn't sound like God. It's a scripture, but I'm not convinced that that is what he's saying or how he's saying it or what it means or how it applies. I know this, that God does not want to give any of us the silent treatment. He wants to speak to you. And may he speak to you through his word. When I talk about knowing God's voice, this is the way. It's not complicated, but it requires some commitment. It's reading the Bible, reading through the Bible. Find some kind of a plan, make your own plan. Whatever it is, be intentional. In 2019, if you want to know the voice of God, I don't just mean know the scriptures. You search the scriptures, but they're that testify of me. We need to know the Lord through the scriptures and know his voice and know his tone. And the way to do it is to read and say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me through your word? I bought a new Bible this year, not because anything was wrong with my old one. But I bought a new Bible. It's at home, and I've got a set of pens. And devotionally, I bought the Bible to mark up. And so I've got a whole system that I use of different colors in this Bible, highlighting things different ways. The other one, doesn't matter what color, I am circling and underlining and writing. And that's how my plan for going through 2019 is to not just have a separate journal with my Bible. I am going to journal in the Bible. And I'm going to make notes and circle and under. I mean, I am motivated to hear God's voice this year, but the only way that I'm going to really know it's Him speaking is if I know His words. Can I invite you to intentionally determine to read God's word this year? And somehow not to make a New Year's resolution, but to ask God for a New Year's revelation. And that through 2019 we'll say, God, reveal your word to me and reveal yourself to me through your word as I read it. It's not complicated, but it is commitment. to say, God, I am going to read your word and get it inside of me this year. That when you speak to me, I'm going to know. That is the voice of God because it lines up with scripture. Because if I'm just relying on me going to be able to somehow figure it out, it's not going to work. I need his word. Because his thoughts and his ways are so far above mine. And I can't take the chance. We can't take the chance of just believing every random thought that rolls through our mind is the voice of God. We just get wildly goofy. We need God's words. God, show us. Show us yourself through your word. And just like the thoughts that we process when other people come to us and give us a word. And we've been practicing this in our Life Together groups, sharing words with people. And God has been speaking through others, but we're able to line it up with God's word. And so many times it's through God's word. Here's a verse for you. And it fits just perfectly. And we say, that sounds like God. God spoke through others. But if we know his word, when the wonky stuff comes, we can recognize that too. Say, that's not his tone. That's not the tone of my father. He loves me. And there's correction and there's all of those things. Absolutely. But he does it in a loving way. It's not punishment as discipline. It's correction towards a future. May we be people who this year know his voice because we know him through his word. Let's go ahead and pray. Hang on.